Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Hi, I'm Rob West. Christians will agree that no one but God knows the future. But how then shall we handle that uncertainty, especially the economic uncertainty? Brandon Sieben joins us today with some helpful advice. And then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, it's always a treat to have Brandon Sieben with us on the program. Brandon is chairman of the board at Compass Finances God's Way, where they've been hearing from people who are having a hard time with our current economic uncertainty. Brandon, great to have you back with us.
Thank you for having us back on the program, Rob.
Well, I always enjoy it, and I'm delighted to dive into this topic. Economists have been calling, of course, for a recession for well over a year now, and it hasn't happened yet. So, Brandon, why do you think folks are so worried about the economy these days?
Recession's part of the issue. There's also concern around a number of other things as well. The upcoming election here in the U.S., inflation, high interest rates, and then a number of geopolitical issues like what's going on with China and Taiwan or in the Ukraine or even the issue in the Middle East right now.
Yeah, and that really runs the gamut, of course. How are these folks dealing with this uncertainty?
Well, uncertainty for these folks, for a lot of folks that we deal with, leads to fear, especially for those that are on a fixed budget or struggling or without a surplus. These issues, as you know, tend to have an immediate impact on their ability to survive or even provide for their family. So the fear can lock folks up and they become either indecisive with money or worse, take risk with money, ill-advised risk, and they may forget, you know, whose money it is and what their role is to honor God with money.
Yeah. So let's look to God's word for some practical help with this. How are you encouraging folks who are struggling with economic uncertainty to address it?
We always encourage them first to go to prayer and seek God's wisdom. And then in scripture, there are a lot of places to go. Two great places would be Deuteronomy 8, where God talks about his purpose for us when we're in crisis. And then 1 Corinthians 3:7, which talks about, you know, God's role in providing and what our part is relative to doing what he commands us to do in this area of finances. And then practically speaking, we always encourage folks that are uncertain or in fear to use this as an opportunity to tighten their budget, maybe reduce spending. Go after the debt to bring that down and maybe use this as a time to build up their emergency fund if they're in fear about what's to come in the future.
Yeah, that's great advice. And really, this is an opportunity to demonstrate our trust in the Lord during these uncertain times, which is an incredibly powerful witness to the world that's looking on. Now, Brandon, what about someone who might not be thinking at all about the future?
Sure. Well, there is another side of the coin. And definitely for those with extra or maybe more investments, this may be an opposite issue for them right now. And markets have recovered, their investments may be doing well, and there could be some greed or pride beginning to set in, you know, them thinking, hey, I did this. Maybe it's time for me to go all in.
Yeah, let's finish by looking at God's word and how you would advise these folks.
Well, it's the same basic advice. Number one, stay balanced. You know, be committed to your financial plan. Maybe this is a good time to take some off the table, the Joseph principle, and then stay humble. The same scriptures apply, and specifically out of that Deuteronomy 8:18 says, you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. So stay humble. God's providing and not us. We're merely watering or planting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Now, Brandon, I know you all at Compass Finances God's Way have some resources you'd like to share that I think would be particularly appropriate here.
Yes, for your listeners who have access to the YouVersion Bible app, which is a great resource, it's free. We have several five-day reading plans to help around these topics. So if somebody's dealing with crisis or if somebody's looking for, you know, how do they find contentment in their finances, a lot of these topics we have on that app, so I'd encourage them to go check that out.
Excellent. Brandon, always appreciate my time with you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by today.
Thanks so much, Rob. God bless.
God bless you as well. That's Brandon Sieben, Chairman of the Board at Compass Finances God's Way. You can learn more at compass1.org. That's compass1.org. All right, your calls on any financial topic are next at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Today begins what many Christians call Holy Week. It's the week leading up to Good Friday and Easter Sunday. We remember Christ's death and resurrection. It began with the triumphal entry, a day of joy. Jesus entered Jerusalem on a humble donkey. Luke 19 gives us the response. The whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. It was a week that would end in the death of Jesus, but the crowd was right. Jesus is the King, the one who brings peace and deserves all the glory. Get more daily encouragement from God's Word with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance Program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
What if your everyday purchases could support biblical causes? With the all-new Cash Rewards Visa card from Christian Community Credit Union, a portion of every purchase goes to ministries that spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children. Plus, earn unlimited 1.5% cash back. Visit joinchristiancommunity.com. Membership eligibility required. Each account is insured up to $250,000. This institution is not federally insured.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. During this hour, we want to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. That's right. You have questions, we've got answers. Well, at least God's Word does, and we'll help to direct you back there in light of those practical decisions and choices you're making in your financial life every day. So whether it's living, giving, owing, or growing God's money, we'd love to tackle it with you, be an encouragement to you, be hopeful, but also give you some practical wisdom so you can move forward with confidence. The number to call today, 800-525-7000. Again, that number is 800-525-7000. Whatever your financial question is, this is a great time to get in. The lines will fill during the program, and you can get right through right now at 800-525-7000. There's some good news today for potential home buyers, and we know there hasn't been much of that lately. The rate of home prices increases has finally returned
to a pre-pandemic level, according to Moody's Analytics. Home prices in the U.S. increased by just 0.06% in March, and that's just about what was happening month to month for the 8 years leading up to the COVID outbreak. During that time, home values increased 0.5 or 0.06% a month, or around 5 or 6% annually. Of course, high mortgage rates are still keeping many potential buyers out of the market, but this new data suggests that they are on their way to returning to normal, at least as far as home values are concerned. So I don't think we're in a bubble situation. We still clearly have a supply and demand issue. There are just not enough homes to meet the demand that is out there today. A lot of that is because new home starts dipped during the COVID pandemic, and we're seeing more and more people moving into single-family homes. The millennials are reaching that age where they're ready to start a family. They're looking for single-family homes. More people working remotely means folks moving out of densely populated urban areas, perhaps in an apartment or a condo, into the suburbs and buying homes. All of that has put pressure on home inventories. That's kept prices high, even with these higher interest rates. So I think it's a good opportunity for us just to revisit our plan, right? The longer term, the perspective, the better the decision we can make today. And part of that includes planning for that ultimate home purchase, making sure that we're saving appropriately, that we don't rush into it. With the average home in the United States north of $400,000, and our desire to want to make sure you put down at least 20%, that's $80,000 on that $400,000 purchase. And I realize you might spend less, but if that's the average, a lot of folks need to be saving toward that number. Well, it's going to take a while. And so perhaps you continue to save, you delay that purchase. The last thing we want to do is buy too much house. And I would say that's spending more than 25, certainly no more than 28% of your take-home pay on your monthly mortgage payment, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, not including the extras like the utilities and the maintenance and those kinds of things. But at least for that full mortgage payment, PITI, they call it, we try to want to stay around that 25, certainly no more than 28%. That's going to ensure you have enough left over to do everything else in your financial life, give and save, and of course, your lifestyle spending. So anyway, some things to think about today as we look at the home market, the home purchase market for sure, and good news that at least for prospective home buyers that we're not seeing as rapid an increase in home prices. All right, we're ready to dive into your questions today. I've got a few lines open, 800-525-7000. You can call right now with any financial question. Let's begin in Ohio. Patsy, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi there. Hi. Howdy.
Howdy. Hey, do me a favor and turn down that radio for me if it's still up in the background, but delighted to hear your voice.
I wanted my husband to be able to hear.
Oh, I'm so glad. Well, hello to your husband as well. Tell me his name.
Frank.
All right. Got Patsy and Frank ready to go. How can I serve you today?
Well, I saved quite a bit of money. I'm in my 70s. We both are.
Right.
And we've only been married a little over 2 years. And okay. I had money saved that I had in a lockbox.
Okay.
And, of course, I sold my condo, so I put that money in a CD because it was paying the best rate. So I figure with the money that's in the CDs, that I have a couple CDs, the money that's in that, I'm going to make over $4,000 a year just in interest. And I still have another few thousand bucks that I didn't know what the best thing to do with. I know if I would walk into the bank with this big amount of money I have in cash, that the government's going to say, hey, where'd you get that money at? I've been money laundering.
You're right. If you have a deposit over $10,000, they are going to need to let the Treasury know, just and supposedly that's to prevent money laundering. But you are correct on that. Let's talk about the purpose of this money, Patsy. First of all, when are those CDs coming due?
And they're one's due in September and one's due in October.
Okay. And about how much do you have, if you don't mind me asking?
I have let me think about it. I think the little one that I just added a little bit more to it out of my checking. I'm keeping my checking down low now because I don't have a lot of expenses. I don't owe any bills.
Sure.
And I just have a credit card and I pay that in full every month.
Right.
I have about $16,000 in one. And then the big one where I sold the condo, I added some to that one. I have $135,000 in that one.
All right. Very good. And do you have this money, the 16 or the 135, do you have that earmarked for anything in particular, Patsy?
No. Uh-uh. If I die, you know, I'm 74. Mm-hmm. I'll be 75 this year. If I pass away, it just goes to my son. I put him on my bank account. So if anything happens to me, it goes to him.
Yeah, very good.
And
your bills are covered, as you said, so this really is surplus. But are you wanting to keep it risk-free for all intents and purposes? I mean, there's nothing that's risk-free, but as close to it as possible? Or would you like to invest
of it? What do you mean by invest?
Well, like, would you be interested in looking at stocks and bonds, or do you really want to keep it in CDs and savings?
Yeah, I think I'd rather keep it in CDs and savings.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
That's me. Because, you know, the stock market, I don't trust it.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I just don't trust it.
I certainly understand. You know, the only reason why you may at this season of life want to consider a portion of it is just because, you know, one of the ways we offset inflation is by trying to grow this. But I understand you're wanting to focus on the return of your capital, not the return on it. So the most important thing for you is to protect it and then try to grow it modestly. The good news is you can do that in CDs and even high-yield savings right now. That won't be available forever, but it's going to be with us for a bit more because the Federal Reserve has said inflation's still a little too high. They're not ready to start lowering interest rates. They're still expecting 3 rate cuts this year. Certainly, they're going to come in the back half of the year. But I think these elevated rates are going to be with us for a while, certainly in the fours. I mean, you can get in the fives right now, but I think you'll see things in the fours. So if you're looking to roll these over, one thing you may want to consider is what's called a CD ladder, where you stack them on top of each other. So you could do one at 6 months, one at a year, one at 18 months, and one at 2 years. And then every 6 months, you'd have a fourth of the money come and due, and you roll it forward. And the way to find the banks with the very best rates, which many of them are going to be online, is bankrate.com. Just click on CD, and that'll ensure that every time you're investing in a new CD, you get the best rate. Thanks for your call. We'll be right back.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA upholds the truth that all human beings, including the unborn, are created in the image of God and are worthy of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good. To explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values, more information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
Transgenderism, critical race theory, and evolution. Is your child or grandchild ready to face these and other issues on campus? Hi, I'm Kirby Anderson with Probe Ministries and Point of View. You know, many Christians leave the church after they graduate, but they don't have to graduate from God. That's why we have the Mind Games Camp this year, June 16 to 22nd, a week of presentations, role play, as well as fun at camp. Sign up today at probe.org and help them meet these challenges to their faith.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
By the grace of God, American Family Association is making a difference.
Bert Harper, co-host of Exploring the Word.
And we have set our face as a flint to stay true to God and His Word.
Contact the AFA Foundation today to learn how you can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today with lines open. You can get right through right now. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Give us a call. Let's go to Texas. Hey, Mike, what are you thinking about today?
Yeah. Well, my question is, okay, I have about $50,000 with Vanguard in an IRA account, and another $20,000 with Voya in a 401k. And up till about 3 years ago, I was making real good money with Vanguard with my IRA account. But about the last 3 years, it seems like I'm going nowhere with the investments I had in a targeted retirement account. I gain a little bit, then I'd lose a little bit, and gain a little bit, lose a little bit. And that's all it was doing. So I put it all into money market, and I was just want to know if you had any suggestions. Where could I, like what type of account I could put it in to start making some gains?
Yeah. So the total you've got that you're talking about here, Mike, is about 75,000. Is that right?
No, about 70. I got 50 with Van. Yeah, 50 with Vanguard in an IRA account. It's traditional. And then another 20 with Voya in a 401k.
Okay. So 70,000. What is your age?
I'm going to be 64 come this November.
Okay. And are you still working?
Yes, I'm still working.
And plan to for the foreseeable future?
Yeah, I want to work as long as possible so I could raise the limit of the Social Security, because, you know, it goes up 8% every year that you work.
That's right.
At 65 or past 62.
Well, if you take it before full retirement age, which is somewhere between 66 and 67 for you, it might be 67, then you're going to get a reduction from your scheduled benefit based on your work record of about 8% a year. For every year you wait beyond full retirement age, so probably between 67 and 70, you're going to get 8% a year added to it. And I'm a big fan of that. If you have the ability to keep working, stay productive, let that check continue to grow, that's just going to make, you know, solving for your monthly spending need, you know, easier, because you could end up with a check 25% higher than, you know, what you would have gotten at full retirement age. So I like that a lot. Are you continuing to contribute to a retirement plan currently?
Yes.
All right. And is so that's a different 401k with a current provider, is that right?
Yes. There's a company match that they'll put 5% in as long as I put 5% or higher. And right now I'm putting about 8% in.
Okay, great. Yeah, I love that. What about rolling this into that? Have you looked at that option?
$50,000,
the Vanguard.
Oh, like roll it in into the 401k?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I haven't thought about that.
Okay. Well, you know, here's the thing. I mean, listen, you've got time on your side in the sense that if the Lord tarries and you're in good health, we need to plan for this money lasting to, call it, age 95. And so then that gives you a 30-year time horizon on this. So, you know, I wouldn't be as concerned about what's happening in the market over a 1, 2, or even a 5-year period, because we're looking at this in decades. And if we take that approach, I mean, what you've been dealing with lately is – in the last couple of years is in that target date fund. I suspect that you were across the broad market of bonds, which were under pressure because interest rates were climbing and the bond prices were falling. And then you were in probably a broad market indexes, which really the leaders driving the market were a very small group of high growth tech stocks, you know, what they call the Magnificent Seven, even though it wasn't only limited to that. And we've seen the breadth expand at the end of last year, and it's continued to the broader market. A lot of the growth in the last couple of years that we see reflected in the big indexes like the S&P 500 and the Dow Jones are related to those big high-flying growth tech stocks. And so if you weren't highly concentrated in those, which I wouldn't have encouraged you to be, you didn't see as much participation in the upside of the market. So those two factors, I think, were what you were experiencing with the ebbs and flows of the up one month, down the next. But if we look at this in broader brush, you know, approaches like decades at a time, I think the very best place for you to be is in high-quality growth and in bond portfolios, probably with the amount of money we're talking about, roughly $70,000, through mutual funds or ETFs, because that way you can get a good mix of, you know, of stocks and bonds. I mean, at your age, I'd probably like for you to have about 45% in stocks, so you've got a good growth component. Remembering that, again, we're not just looking at your retirement date at 70, let's say. We're looking at this money needing to last for three decades. And so because of that, we need this growth engine in there that even though it's going to have more volatility and it could be down over a year or two's time, if we're in a recession especially, that we're looking long term, and that's what's going to help you overcome inflation. And then 55% in, you know, bonds. And as the interest rates start to come back down, the bond prices will increase on top of those really attractive yields. And that'll make for a nice portfolio. So you could do that through a target date fund. You could do that through a robo-advisor like Wealthfront or Betterment or the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Or you could hire an advisor to pick those for you. I think it just depends on how much, you know, how hands-on you want to be versus hiring somebody else to do it. But I think long-term, that's going to be your best chance of building wealth, even though you have to just recognize you're going to have some volatility, you know, in the meantime. But it should be less than if you had an all-stock portfolio, just because that bond portion should smooth it out a little bit. And again, as rates fall, and they will over time, you know, that's going to help to push the bond portion up because those bond prices will increase. But I've thrown a lot at you there. Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, that makes sense. I don't plan on using any of that money unless it's an emergency. You know, I don't want to use the savings like a regular savings account at a bank. You know, I only use it in an emergency.
No, that makes sense. Let me give you three options as a next step. One is you go to a robo-advisor like Betterment or Schwab Intelligent. Second is our friends at soundmindinvesting.org and the SMI newsletter could give you mutual fund suggestions that you'd buy yourself. Or third, you could find a CKA to manage it at faithfi.com. So one of those three will be a great choice for you. We'll be right back.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
I want to talk about Israel. So, Robert, is this the end of the world we're seeing?
What I can answer, you know, Matthew 24:36 says, no man knows the hour or the day, but I think things are absolutely being set up for what will be the end of times. And what people don't realize is this is ultimately a spiritual conflict.
Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with the community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
When you hear this,
this is American Family News.
You know what follows is the truth. Your news from a Christian perspective.
Hundreds of teachers are going to have to walk into that school building, and they are forced to swallow political ideology that in many cases violates their very faith and conscience.
If you miss it at the top of the hour, American Family News podcasts are available at AFN.net. And sign up for our daily news brief at AFN.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. SoundMindInvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. You know, this is the program where we recognize God as our ultimate treasure. You know, as a money show, we might say that again? Well, God is our ultimate treasure. Money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes. When we look to Scripture in those 2,350 verses that deal with money and possessions, how we handle money, we see a clear pattern that's on the heart of God for how we should view money, that we can't let it compete with God for first position in our lives. Remember, it says you cannot serve God and mammon or money. We have to choose. And so it can derail us from experiencing God's best if it becomes a ruling things in our life. But instead, we don't want it to be an end. We want it to be a means to an end to accomplish God's purposes as we provide and enjoy what God has entrusted to us and as we use it to give generously. And that's what we focus on this program, answering your practical questions related to your role as a steward of God's money in light of biblical wisdom. I've got some lines open today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. You can get right through, and we'd look forward to hearing from you. Coming up in our next segment today, Bob Dahl will stop by. He's Chief Executive Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. Bob will give us an update on the markets. He'll tell us what to expect in the near term in terms of how to think about risk asset markets. We've had some momentum, but where is it going from here? What about monetary conditions? And what about gold? We'll get Bob to weigh in on that and more just around the corner. But first, let's head back to the phone. Speaking of gold, I think that's where Judy would like to go next in Alabama. Go right ahead, Judy.
Yes, sir. I was taught years ago, back in the 70s, that I heard a preacher preach on it, said in the end times, we should have gold. The Christians should get gold to protect themselves. Well, we're not wealthy by any means. We're in ministry. My husband is still active, and we're in our 70s. But we have some CDs, and I was wondering, do we need to, would it be smart to, when the CDs mature, to maybe pick up some gold coins or something like that? Would it be smart? And if it would be, where do you do that and how do you do that?
Yeah, it's a great question, Judy. First of all, thank you for your service to the Lord over a long period of time, and I'm delighted to hear that you want to be a continued faithful steward of what God has entrusted to you. I think CDs are a great option. I like gold. I like gold a lot. You know, it's that uncorrelated asset is the kind of the fancy term for it in our portfolio, where we almost don't want gold to do well, because if it is doing well, it means there's some other risk inherent in the system, that either other things are not doing well, or, you know, there's a lot of fear or uncertainty out there, because it is the fear trade. You know, it's that store of value that people rush to, more so than silver, which has a more industrial use. Gold, it tends to be that store of value that people flock to in fearful times. And I like it as a part of your portfolio, as one piece of a diversified portfolio. The question is, what's the appropriate amount of gold for the typical person? And what I would say there is no more than 10% of your investable assets. So the way I would typically look at it is buy the physical gold for the first 5%. And I'll call that your forever allocation, where you buy it, you hang on to it. If at some point we do get into really difficult times, could it be useful? Sure, it could. And it would be that store of value if other things were really struggling, or there was some kind of major economic event, and it would do well. Now, how you actually use that as a means of trade and commerce, I mean, do you, you know, use those gold coins to actually, you know, buy and sell? I mean, if it got to that, we'd have much bigger problems. But I do think that there's a place for that. And that's where I think buying the physical gold makes a lot of sense, because then you can just hang on to it and pass it down, you know, to your heirs, or give it away at your death. And then if you're going to buy that second 5%, I typically would do that through what's called a tracker ETF. ETF just stands for exchange traded fund. Think about it as it's buying gold, but through a stock on the stock market. And that's essentially what you're doing. So these ETFs actually buy the physical gold, they put them in vaults, and then that's backing the investment. Then you're able to buy it as a stock as long as the stock market's open. And the price of that ETF that follows the gold actually moves with the price of gold. And so it's an easier way for you to have an allocation of gold without having to buy it through a dealer, or, you know, through someone, then store it and secure it and all of those kinds of things. And so if you decided you wanted to take your 10% allocation back down to 5, it would be much easier to sell your gold ETF. If the market was open, you put in a sell order and it's gone, you know, that would be easier than having to sell the physical gold, which somebody may charge you a markup so they can, you know, make a little bit on the sale, if that makes sense. In terms of where to buy the physical gold, I mean, there's all kinds of places. You could do some research online to see, you know, if you have a local gold dealer. Costco is even selling 1 ounce gold bars, and they've been very popular. They have trouble keeping them in stock just because of how popular they've been. But literally, if you're a Costco member, you could walk in there and buy a 1 ounce bar. You know, gold is trading today at $2,165 an ounce. I mean, it moves every day, but, you know, basically it'd be a little over $2,000 for you to buy a 1 ounce gold bar. You could buy coins, which are smaller increments. And then if you ever wanted to have them and you thought you might need to use them, you know, to buy or sell, that's a little easier than a gold bar, because you've just got, it's divisible at a smaller increment. So those are some thoughts, Judy, but give me your take on that.
Well, I've listened to someone recently, and I read, I guess, online, and they mentioned that if you buy different gold in different places, you get the value of the gold itself. Some has alloy in it and things like that. So should we look for pure gold?
Yeah, I think you certainly want to factor that in. So, for instance, this one that I mentioned, not that I am suggesting necessarily that you go to Costco, but let's use this as the example. So their 1 ounce bars are 999.9 fine gold, you know, with their minted bars, they're Swiss made. I mean, so you certainly want to, you know, make sure you have a bullion identification security system. And, you know, so that's where having somebody that's a trusted source to help you make this purchase is important. So you're buying something that's of quality.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. What if you don't have a Costco around you?
Then I think you would want to probably do some research online and read a lot of reviews and find somebody who's reputable that could help you make this purchase. I wouldn't be able to suggest a dealer, over the phone or over the air here today. But, there are options out there. I would just do a lot of research. And if you hold the line, we can get your information and get you connected to somebody who can help you further if that would be what you're looking for.
Okay. Yes. Thank
All right.
You.
Great. You're welcome, Junie. Thanks for being on the program today. May the Lord bless you. Let's go to New York. Hi, Darlene. How can we help?
Hi. I've been listening, so I guess maybe this would follow along with others who want to know how to invest some money that they have recouped from other places. We have some property we're going to sell. And I thought I was going to do a 1031, but now I'm not. So I know I'll pay taxes, but I hear the music. Should I wait?
Yeah, let's do this. We'll pick this up on the other side. You're responding very well to that. I appreciate it, Darlene. Hang right there. We'll pick you up right after this break. Stick around.
Many call this week Easter week, that time when we remember the death and resurrection of Christ on the cross. And from the Old Testament, there's a parallel with the Jewish Passover. I'm Charles Morris. Join me with David Wolin for Haven Today this week and a series called Jesus and the Feasts of Israel.
Haven Today, weekday mornings at 4:30 Central on American Family Radio. Listen online at afr.net.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
God has entrusted His finances to you. And we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
So glad you've joined us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. In just a moment, we'll talk to our good friend Bob Dahl. He stops by each Monday to give us his update on the markets and the economy. He's just around the corner. But first, before the break, we were talking to Darlene. Darlene is in New York. Darlene, do I understand that the proceeds of the money that you have come from a home sale, and this was not your primary residence? This was an investment property. Is that right?
Yes, but I haven't sold them yet. I'm planning to. I have one of the rental contracts coming due at the end of June, and I've been trying to think about where I would put the money since I'm not going to reinvest it in more rental houses. We do have a brokerage account. There's about $3 million in that. We do have an online bank with maybe $60,000 in that, and then we have another credit union with a savings and checking, an adequate, cushion for 3 to 6 months. And we have a private loan out that we're getting money on.
Great.
And so I'm trying to think of how I might be able to diversify. Lots of times when I have some extra cash, I just give it to my financial advisor. He puts it in a savings where we're getting like a 4.5 return on that. But
Great.
I keep dumping all my money in one place, I feel like. I don't necessarily want to give more to my Raymond James counselor.
Okay. Well, it sounds like you guys are doing quite well. I'm delighted to hear kind of how you've broken this down. Darlene, how much would you be expecting from these property sales in total?
Well, somewhere around $250,000 to $300,000.
Okay. All right. And the money that you said was in the brokerage account, is that the money that's being managed by the Raymond James advisor?
Yes.
Okay. And do you have a good sense? I mean, other than the money he's putting in, like a money market fund, getting the 4.5%, is some of that invested in stocks and bonds?
Stocks and bonds, mutual funds, yes.
Okay. Yeah, great.
We've been with him for about 20 years, so.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, and so obviously you're pretty happy there. I guess I would just wonder, you know, it seems like even though, yes, you're kind of continuing to do the same thing, he's got an unlimited number of investment options available to him. So, you know, whether it's maybe, you know, if there's not a current allocation of precious metals, you know, maybe that's an opportunity. But through his management, that could be done. I mean, maybe there's, you know, additional investing that he could do inside that portfolio. You know, whether you focus on high dividend stocks, you know, with a portion of this where you haven't previously and look at generating some income, maybe this is an opportunity for him to increase your bond exposure, you know, on the shorter end of the duration. But whereas these bond prices start to increase as interest rates come down, you participate there. So I guess I would just wonder, in light of a $3 million portfolio, you know, you're only adding 10% more. Is there an opportunity to further diversify you among the investments he's picking with what, you know, some investment classes you don't already have, like precious metals, like dividends, like bonds? And if you, you know, if there's room to grow some of those allocations, maybe that's part of what you do with this $300,000. So you're not just doing the same thing. Yes, there's one person buying and selling, but it just allows you to further diversify in the existing portfolio. What are your thoughts on that, though?
Well, that sounds like a very simple solution. And he's always telling me, you know, at this point in life, just simplify things. And that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm selling the rental properties.
Yeah, well, certainly that's going to take a lot of overhead off of you, because now you're not a landlord. This is a more passive investment strategy. You got a relationship with him that spans two decades, and he's got unlimited investment options at his disposal. So I think it's a time for you all to sit down and say, hey, let's get creative around this additional money that's going into the portfolio. Let's look at where we're currently invested. Are we, you know, are there certain asset classes where we're underexposed, and maybe this is the opportunity to kind of lean into those a bit more? But I think that's the simplest and perhaps the best option, rather than you having to take something else on that you're unfamiliar with and trying to do it outside of this relationship that's already existing. So hopefully that helps, Darlene. Listen, we appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, we may have time for one more question today before we round out the program. 800-525-7000. But first, our good friend Bob Dahl is here. Bob is Chief Executive Officer and Chief Investment Officer at Crossmark Global Investments. He's a Wall Street veteran. He's a frequent contributor on CNBC and Fox Business, and he joins us each Monday on this segment of the broadcast. And Bob, well, first, happy new week to you, sir. Good morning.
Same to you. Happy Holy Week.
Yes, that's exactly right. It sure is. And what a glorious celebration we'll have this weekend. Hey, tell Amen. Us just what you're thinking about as you start a new week.
Market has done so well. It is amazing. I look at my screen and I see that, you know, from the low last October, the stock market is up more than 1,000 S&P points, or more than 20%, almost 25. What a run it has been. And we just hope that investors can enjoy what they've earned, and that might continue, or at least not go down much. The economy is doing okay. Showing some signs of slowing. I watch inflation, Rob, and see that it's come down from the peak, but still has a long way to go to the Fed's target. So we have challenges in front of us. We'll see how it plays out.
Yeah. Are there any cracks, if you will, Bob, in either the consumer or jobs, which has been, you know, so strong, both of those?
Yes. The unemployment rate is still low, but it's moved up 0.4%, 0.4%. Historically, when it's ever moved up 0.5%, so 0.1%, we have always had a recession. Yeah. So we're watching it carefully. I think what the government doesn't measure very well is people working multiple jobs. And there's evidence there that those that were working three, and believe it or not, a lot of people do, are back to two, and a lot of people working two are back to one. Not because they've chosen that, but because that extra incremental part-time job is no longer available to them. That's concerning as it leads to more layoffs. We've seen that in the financial industry, parts of technology, so we need to watch that carefully, Rob.
Yeah, very good. What about in the fixed income space, Bob? I know rates haven't started down, but have folks allocated there begun to get a little reprieve from some of the downside pressure we had in the years leading up to this?
For sure. As I like to say, a 4.25% 10-year treasury yield is a whole lot more attractive than a 1.5% yield, where it was, believe it or not, just 2 years ago. So investors that held through that lost a lot of money in bonds, but we're at a more interesting point here with those nominal rates. And, of course, you can get short-term deposits at, in the high fours and sometimes low fives. Having some money there is just fine.
Yeah, very good. And then what about precious metals? I know there's been a lot of eyes on just the price of gold in this environment. Obviously, it's that asset class. I guess you don't really want to do very well because usually that means something else is going awry. But where do you think we go from here in the precious metals?
I think as long as the economy remains reasonably good and inflation is above the Fed's target, which it is, we're likely to have precious metals continue to do okay. We've seen that in lots of commodities, even past the precious ones, as the global economy, which we haven't talked about yet in this call, is definitely showing signs of improvement. China is the question mark, but parts of Europe are doing better. Japan's doing better, all of that having flirted with or been in a recession, and now we're starting to see some central banks outside the U.S. lower rates. So they're the reasons that we've seen some pickup in both precious and non-precious commodities.
Yeah, very good. Bob, let's finish today with faith-based investing. You know, we just talked to a caller a moment ago. She's got $3 million portfolio. She's in traditional investments that she's always had. You know, and I think about somebody like that and so many of our listeners who just, it's never been a part of even the thought process. They've been investing for decades, and it's still a brand new idea. What would you say to somebody who's maybe just hearing about faith-based investing for the first time?
Yeah, take a look. Find a faith-based investment advisor. Find a certified kingdom advisor who knows these concepts, has operated with their clients in these concepts and can share it. Lining up one's life, all of one's life, including investments, with faith is, I think, all part of the Christian walk.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, Bob, we're grateful for you, my friend. Thanks for stopping by.
Happy Easter. Goodbye.
All right, you too. That's Bob Dahl. He's Chief Investment Officer and CEO at Crossmark Global Investments, where investments and values intersect. If you want to visit their site or sign up for his weekly Dahl's Deliberations, his investment commentary, you can do that at crossmarkglobal.com. Well, folks, we're nearing the end of the program today. You know, as we think about applying God's wisdom to our financial decisions and choices, we want to look back to God's Word, and here's what we will find. You know, apart from the big idea that we're stewards and God is owner and he gives us the power to create wealth, I think we need to remind ourselves that there are plenty of admonitions in Scripture around how we should handle money, the fact that we should avoid debt, the importance of goal setting, the importance of paying our taxes, not anymore, but rendering unto Caesar at least what is Caesar's. The fact that we should be training the next generation, our kids, in these principles and a biblical worldview of money management, and certainly living within our means. And we want to remind you of those principles and ideas that are very very practical but rooted in God's Word each time we gather together. And by the way, and speaking of living within our means, if you're struggling with that like I am and so many of us are in the midst of high inflation, check out the FaithFi app. It's what Julie and I use to manage our budget every day. And it's really helpful to know what's left in each envelope when you take a look at that app in real time. You can download it today at faithfi.com. Just click app. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us. A big thanks to my team today, Devin Patrick, Robert Youngblood, Jim Henry, and everybody here at FaithFi that makes this possible. You have a great day and hope you'll come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.